From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
It's Friday night again, and that means it's game night. But there's nothing to be afraid of.
Friday night?
No, it's Thursday night, isn't it? Did I say Friday night? I'm wishing the week away. Maybe it's because I am scared. But like I said, there's nothing to be afraid of about games because you've only got the terror of Terra Mystica.
Oh, God.
You've got the horror of Horus Heresy. You might be frightened of Freitag, but you should definitely be scared of Richard Scarry's Busy Town.
Oh, God.
It's the Dice Men Cometh, 99.3 FM. I'm Mark.
I'm Garth, and I'm sorry for that intro. Oh, my God. But look, it's episode 83. You are on the 3rd of September, for those of you who are paying attention. What are we talking about this week, Mark?
We are going to talk with a special guest.
Another one.
He's in the studio right now, but we've told him he's not going to speak for the first half an hour. Shut up!
Exactly.
We'll introduce him later.
Yeah, and we're also talking about what we've been playing this week, and we might do a game and a half, maybe two games, just because
we've
got one that we'd like to talk about and one that we should probably mention very briefly.
We've been playing lots of games.
Exactly. I'm doing my iOS and electronic gaming update that I know you've been hanging out for, because we haven't actually talked about this since Gen Con, so
it's
there's a
been a while,
news.
And there's a few to catch up on, that's for sure.
Exactly right. And then we will talk to our special guest. We will release the muzzle and allow this person to speak.
And but, and this guy does need a muzzle, actually. Anyway, we're going to come back in a minute, talk about games. But until then, let's have some music.
Away.
Ah, the dulcet tones of Johnny Cash with that beautiful Nine Inch Nails song, Hurt. On Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, with the Dice Men Cometh, with Mark and Garth. I almost said the one whose name shall not be mentioned anymore.
Should we maybe just go back in time and start this one again
Thursday? Yeah, we'll do it on Thursday instead of Friday.
Wow. So anyway, let's get into what we do best, which is not back announcing, and talk about what we've been playing this week, because we have been playing a couple of games.
We did play a couple of games, didn't we?
Yeah. Now, one that we played is a recent game you got from Kickstarter. So you want to just fill us in and tell us what this is about?
Absolutely. So the game we played last week, and I've been waiting on this one for a while, been very excited about it, Viceroy, a Kickstarter exclusive by Yuri Zurovlev. It's a Russian game. It's been very popular in Russia. And so Mayday Games ran that Kickstarter to produce the English version. It's for 1 to 4 players. Now,
no,
I haven't tried the solo version, Garth. Doesn't really interest me, the solo version, but it's 12 and up, 45 to 60 minutes, which is pretty good. Probably took us a bit over an hour to play it. It's a card game where you're building a tableau and you're building a pyramid. Mm. So you are basically gathering these, various characters, I guess, in the game. And what I didn't realize, what these characters are actually from a famous Russian CCG fantasy universe.
The I can't game, believe you didn't know
the
that,
The game
Mark.
Berserk. I've never heard of this.
No, well, that makes two of us. And I must say that having played it now, I still wouldn't have known that that's what it was from.
No, they're very historical, dry figures. Yep. You know, the admiral and the doctor and the dentist and the
and lots of people
hunter
looking out
sniper.
Into the distance in their cards.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of genre.
So basically what you're doing is you have an auction each turn. There's 4 cards up for auction. Each one of those cards is associated with a particular colour, only to do with when it is randomly dealt out into the auction pile, if you like. And you're bidding gems, or in fact, gem. Singular. So if you want the card that's next to the blue gem, you bid, surprisingly enough, a blue gem.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about this auction, and we're sort of, you know, we're going backwards and forwards here. Let me tell you about how the game works, and then we'll talk about that. So there's an auction, and then after you've had an auction round, you're playing cards down to the table, you're paying gems again to play the cards, and the cards form a pyramid. So you have a bottom layer, second layer, third layer, up to 5 levels. All the cards have powers on them where they give you different things. So they can give you tokens, they can give you more gems, they can give you victory points. But it depends on what level of the pyramid that the card is in as to what reward you'll get when you play it, but it also costs more to play it the higher it is in your pyramid. That's basically about the mechanisms of the game. It's quite simple, and it's really about what cards you're going to put where, you know, having to put low cards down so you can actually build up the levels of your pyramid, because you can't jump straight into the third level. You've got to actually have the ground there first.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you can build a maximum of five levels up, and the powers on each card become more impressive as you go along, because you've had to, you know, build the foundations of the pyramid to be able to get up to that fourth and fifth layer. I guess the only real part of the strategy, apart from, you know, which bonus you want to take, is these little circles that you sort of form with each group of three cards.
So each card has, at the bottom, it has the top half of a circle, and then each of the top corners have a quarter of a circle. So when you put these cards into the pyramid, you can end up, if you do it right, with a circle that's all the one color, or not, as the case may be. Now, at first glance, you think, oh, I must make all these circles match up, but it doesn't give you a lot of points. It gives you a free gem of that color when you do it, but then there are other ways where you can get bonus points for each of those colored circles. But as we found out, if you don't have the card that gives you the bonus points for those circles, they're worth effectively nothing. Worth nothing.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a lot of things that are worth nothing unless you get the particular bonus tokens. And there are tokens for, there are shield tokens, science tokens, and magic tokens, which are all sort of worth bonus points. Or in fact, so we thought, poor Carl fell in for the collecting shield tokens. And then it turned out later, shield tokens actually don't do anything.
No.
Except protect you from the sword tokens, which can be used to either steal points from you at the end, or they can be used to outbid, they overbid everything.
Yeah, so let's go back and talk about, because there's only two phases. One is the auction phase, and then the second is the build phase. So the auction phase is four cards come out, there are four different coloured gems, and every player gets to choose one single gem. And that's the colour that you're going for. Now, you can talk about this with all the other people at the table. You can lie. You can bribe and say, well, I'm going to go that one and I'll do, you know, something good.
Hmm.
But I just found that a really odd mechanic, in that it's an auction where you can only ever bid one.
Yes.
If there is a tie, the onus is then to negotiate with the person so that you both ultimately are happy with the outcome, which only kind of works if there's two cards of the same colour out.
So when we have the auction, the cards that aren't won basically move up to a second row, if you like, the second chance auction, and they're available next round as well as the new four cards that come out. And there's only 12 rounds. Four cards will come out every round, and there's a 48 card deck. So the game is very limited as far as time goes. And yeah, I struggled with that. Like, well, it's sort of mad not to say, well, I'm going to go for red.
Mm.
Unless there's a colour that you really, really want.
Exactly. But then it becomes a good sort of mechanic, in that if you bid a sword, which the only way you can get swords is if you've placed a card already in your pyramid, use that power to get a sword, that will automatically win a bid. So you're always going to outrank. If two of you are going for red and you play a sword and the other guy plays their red gem, you'll outrank them, you take it, and they're screwed. And that's kind of cool. The other thing with two tied auctions, you go to a second auction and you spend a second gem, and you can keep going. Is it three rounds?
So you can have three rounds. If you're still tied at the end of three rounds, it's stiff.
Yep.
The auction phase is finished. If you ever want to pass, or if you get that situation where you're tied after three, you do get three gems instead of getting a card. However, it's really hard to get cards because you basically can only get one per auction round. There's 12 auction rounds in the game, so you're only ever going to get 12 that way. You need to, to get to a fifth level, you're going to have five cards on the bottom of your pyramid. So that's 5 + 4 + 3 + 2 + 1. That's 15, is that right? 15 cards. If you're only going to get 12 in the auction, it's really difficult. Now, you can get cards that give you cards as their bonuses, so you get to draw more cards, and you start off with a couple of cards in your hand and a couple of these other lore cards, which are sort of like rule breakers or bonus point cards.
And I think they're quite good because they can really either kickstart your little engine. And I guess what I found about this game is it's very solitaire experience for me, apart from that auction mechanic.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of interaction.
The auction itself is a bit ho-hum. I guess we didn't go particularly cutthroat, which is kind of rare. We talked about it and we said, I'm going to take this one and you're going to take that one and, oh, we'll do this. Only once did you pull the bastard card and play a sword. So, you know, that was pretty good after after 12 rounds. But I find, really, it's the puzzle that you're trying to just sort out the maximum efficiency in your own little tableau rather than worrying about what the person to your left or right are doing. And I didn't like that. I thought, I don't play these games to be a strategy against myself a lot of the time. I want to interact with my mates.
Yeah, I like the puzzly element of it. But you're right, it does, you know, on reflection, it is dry. And it's funny because a lot of people talked about this as being the gamer's splendor. And I don't know whether the gems just made them think of that. I didn't find it very similar to Splendor at all.
Well,
really.
I guess it's similar in that you've got the gems. You've also got cards which give you the permanent gems. So similar to when you've played a card in Splendor and it's just always going to act as one of your little tokens. I get that. I wrote it down as one of the things that, you know, there was a similarity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is quite a light strategy set collection and resource management kind of game. I don't know what the hell a pyramid has to do with the theme of it all, apart from you potentially starting as a lower level person and trying to work your way up to the top. Apart from it working as a mechanic to look nice on a table, I thought that was a bit silly.
Yeah, and look, you know, we should say, I guess, surprise, surprise, the person with the most victory points wins. There's a few different ways to get victory points. Some of the cards have victory points on them. Some of them give the bonuses, as we mentioned. And there's sort of there's a score sheet that comes with the Kickstarter, which is really nice.
Yep.
I got a couple of power-ups, if you like, in the Kickstarter with, they upgraded the normal sleeves to premium sleeves, which I've read a lot of complaints about the penny sleeves from Mayday, who Mayday obviously are a sleeve and accessory company. They've also produced acrylic gems to take over the cardboard gems. There were some bonus cards. A really nice playmat.
Yep.
The playmat is really nice, although you don't really need it,
no.
But it is really nice. Look, I'm going to give it one thumb and a half a little finger, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the artwork looked really good. I thought that, you know, that it did look pretty on the table, which I think is great because that sort of helps you get through. I thought, although there are very multiple paths to victory. You know, you can go the set collection of circles, you can go a few other ways. It really seemed to be that you want to find one strategy and just really capitalize on that. And that's how I ended up winning the game. So I just sort of got a few scrolls, and then there are so many multipliers that allow you to multiply on top of each other that got the win ultimately. Yeah, I would say maybe it's a ho-hum. I'll play it again. I would probably play Splendor over this every day of the week at the moment.
Yeah, look, I think you're probably right. And, I mean, it is a bit more gamery with the puzzly element, but as far as interaction goes, there is very little.
Yep.
So, look, I am a little bit disappointed. It looks great.
It does.
Play maybe lets it down.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, let's throw to a track.
Exactly.
We'll come back and talk about...
Well,
what you've been doing on the toilet lately.
Yeah, exactly right. That was the Twerps with Consecutive Seasons. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3.
Do you know this is, technically, it's our fourth season, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because here at Edge Radio, we have winter and summer seasons.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, so we're up to four consecutive seasons.
All right, we outrank those Twerps then, don't we?
Now, Garth... You've been sitting on the toilet lately, I understand.
Have I ever? Oh, my God. And it has been a long sit down because we haven't talked about this for ages.
No, we haven't.
So I've had to do a little bit of half-assed research, which I don't like doing. But I went back all the way as far as Gen Con, which, you know, there was a lot of announcements for physical board games, but clearly also a lot of app news as well, which is
really,
good. So, yeah, I just thought I'd go along and... You know, just keep you guys updated, knowing you, you know, making sure you know what is hot, your Mark, because I'm sure that doesn't happen too often.
Well, you know, as long as you cover a bit of Android action there for
me. All right, well, let's start with that, because Pandemic, fantastic co-op game, which has been out on iOS for ages, is coming out on Android on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Friday USA time, it's coming out for Android devices, so, you know, download or whatever it is you do on that device. Do you have to get a floppy disk delivered or something?
Oh, God.
No, however that works. Okay. So that's coming out on Friday, so probably Saturday sometime in Australia. They're also in the near future going to be releasing the rest of the On the Brink expansion. So we've had the roles in the base app for a while, yes. But they're actually sort of finally releasing the other content. So
including the purple cubes and the bio terrorists?
Yeah, so in-app purchases kind of thing. So that'll be cool. Another thing, Mark. Your favourite solo game.
What?
Pathfinder.
Oh,
the adventure card game. Rise of the Rune Lords. Look, it'll be out before the end of the year.
Okay? Really? So it's been coming for about 2 years.
I know. But you've only got a few more months to wait.
Oh, that shuffling.
Exactly. I'm sure it's still on your dining room table.
Every
set up,
day
ready to go.
I'm shuffling.
Oh, God. It looks awesome, though.
Yeah.
What they've managed to fit on the screen of an iPad or an Android device will look really, really beautiful. It does look spectacular. They've managed to condense a lot of information, and they've put in some cutscenes and all that extra theme, which will be really, really nice. But I guess the main thing it's going to remove is all that fiddly setup, all that nuisance that, you know, I guess you're lucky you've got all the time to do it because you don't have many friends to play with, clearly, but for those of us who, you know, want to play a game rather than spend the time setting it up, that'll be really, really cool. Okay?
Look, the buzz I've heard on the grapevine is that it's potentially a board game killer. That why would you get the board game and all those cards and pay all that money when you can get a much better finished product in an app form?
Exactly right. And just dive straight in rather than spending so much time with the setup. Speaking of,
did I mention a lot of money?
Speaking of another game that, for me, the app is the board game killer, is Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Ah, yes.
Now, that's been out a while now, and it's still one of my favourites. However, they've finally announced some multiplayer versions of this. So that's great because you get to play with some virtual mates around the internet. You don't get to just sit in your toilet and play it by yourself, or you don't have to sit in the same room with people and pass the one iPad around.
So it has had the pass and play option before.
It has, yeah, but it's now you can all sync in, and it's synchronous play, so you've all got to be there. You've all got to, basically there'll be a team leader, and they'll be able to, you know, change the settings. They'll be able to reassign heroes to players if someone dies or doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
They'll also be able to kick out and, you know, boot out players who are just, you know, maybe not good players or trolls or whatever. So that'll be kind of cool.
Do any of these games, do they do like the turn-based thing? Because that's what I love about BGA, Board Game Arena, Yukata, is, you know, if I've only got 5 minutes, I can come on and take my turn and then come back later. Do any of these offer that option?
They explicitly said, once we've got this sorted out, we have all the infrastructure in place to then be able to move to that format as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next iteration would include that, you know, which is great. I mean, it is good if you only have those couple of minutes. The great thing about this game is that, again, it just takes away all that fiddly setup, all those little tokens,
math,
and figuring out those math, which just slows the game so much. So that's really cool. The multiplayer is currently in beta, but only on Steam, on your PCs and Macs. So once they've sorted that out, it's going to move on to the more portable devices, which is good. Yeah, so now we'll do some Gen Con updates. So the newest stuff. That's Gen Con. Starting now.
I'm excited about Pathfinder.
Yeah,
I really
am.
Have you got a price point at all? Do you know?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
Given what they've put into it, I'm imagining it's going to have to be like $20 or $30.
I'd probably say, you know, somewhere between 12 and 18 is probably a pretty reasonable one.
It's not going to be your $2.99 app, that's for sure.
Well, unless they're offering a hell of a lot of in-app purchases per deck of cards.
Although they will, for sure, because there's plenty of options.
Now, Mark, we did a video of a game we may not have loved. And you'll be very happy to hear that it's coming out. It's been progressing really quite nicely. It's Core Worlds. Now, it is quite behind in the development process from when they said it was going to be released. But Stronghold Games has said that Core Worlds is going to be out in the near future.
As opposed to the distant future.
Exactly right. And I guess I'm kind of excited about this because I would love Core Worlds to be a hell of a lot quicker. One of the things that we really talked about is how much you can probably condense that game down to 6 or 7 rounds as opposed to the 10. And the good thing about the app is it will be able to speed up that play. So even if it's still retaining the 10 rounds, the fact that you don't have to wait for all the cards to come and go, again, you don't have to do all the little fiddly bits, I think it could be a pretty good iteration.
I think you're right. It is almost the ideal platform for a game like that, which can and did really drag in person. Thanks, Dave.
Exactly right. But, I mean, it's a good excuse for everyone out there to check out our video, because it is a brilliant, insightful video, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, we had so much fun making it, we haven't made any more since. And Andrew Parks, if you're out there, we are really sorry.
Indeed.
Now,
just another small game I've been playing a bit of online, Dominion. You might have heard about it. It is playing
really well.
It is a deck builder. It's been playing really, really well. They've got their own website, playdominion.com.
Yeah.
It's got a really cool tutorial. So for anyone who hasn't played it, it introduces the various cards and the various abilities and how you can sort of get your combos working in a really nice methodical way, I guess, which will introduce you to the game quite nicely.
Mm.
Very easy to play. Again, it's not on your mobile devices yet, but that is the next version. They've had it in beta. They're getting it up into the more sort of public release, which is cool.
Yep.
And obviously, it's a mammoth game, so you can get expansion after expansion after expansion.
So on the website, you can. Are they purchases or is it free for the expansions?
I can't remember. But, you know, you jump on there and it's free for a hell of a lot of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd have to double check. I might have to get back to you, Mark.
Okay. PlayDominion.com.
Yes, exactly right. Free. You have to register, but then you're straight in. Another one that my kids love, King of Tokyo.
Oh.
Now, King of Tokyo is coming out by Yellow. But I don't know. I think there's too much fun to be had with rolling all those big chunky dice to make it translate into what will be a fun app.
Yeah.
I would like to think it would. But just, you know, Dice Masters is a bit of fun, Quarriors is a bit of fun, but the Quarriors app is less fun, and I don't know whether King of Tokyo on a mobile device when you can't throw dice is going to be enjoyable.
Yeah, and King of Tokyo creates so many of those stand-up moments where I'm going to get this one last
three clause, or heart or whatever,
and then I'm going to do it. I don't know that it'll be same in the app.
No, but anyway, obviously it's been a mammoth hit, so understandably they'd want to get it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sell it to more people. Mm. Also, another game which I think is just a beautiful little calm, peaceful game is Suro, where you're playing the game of the path.
Yeah,
you're all dragons. A nice little
moving
puzzle.
Moving the stones.
Exactly. My kids love this game, and again, I don't know whether it needs to be an app because the game itself is so simple. You know, it can condense down really quite small. You've only got 8 little tokens and enough cards.
Is it getting to the stage where people are too lazy to lay out a grid of, 25, 30 tiles and 4 little stones? Is that really where we've got to?
Maybe.
I mean, Pathfinder, I totally get it. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cards. You've got to set up the locations each time you play through, and you're talking about, 30, 40 individual games to go through this, all the scenarios. Clearly that is a lot of shuffling time and a lot of setting up time, but something like Suro...
I don't know. I think it'll look great because I think it's a lovely little game, and it was, I have to tip my hat to Will Wheaton because it was one of the few games after watching Tabletop I actually bought.
Oh.
So, but I don't know. Who knows? If it's free, I'll download it.
Well, we've had our guest sitting there. He's been very, very quiet. We're going to bring him on shortly. Have you got...
Yeah, I've got two more little things.
Two more?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly right.
The fun never stops.
Buy one, get one free on this show. So, first one is the Dead of Winter Companion app. So, they are basically replacing the Crossroads deck with the companion app.
Oh.
So it's got all the Crossroad cards and obviously has the option to be, upgraded as well.
Yeah, I was going to say expandable ultimately, yeah.
And it's been generating a fair bit of buzz because the great thing about it is it only releases the information, to be able to read it.
Oh.
And it'll only then show you the consequences and the mechanism after
the
event is triggered and you resolve it. So that's a really cool implementation.
That is very clever. That is the perfect use for a mobile device, isn't it? That sort
exactly.
of situation.
So that again, makes that easy. And it's voiced by Eric Sommerer.
Oh, excellent.
Of the Dice Tower Network.
Fantastic.
I don't particularly like his voice, but it'll probably sound cool. And then lastly, through the ages, Vlada and the team at Czech Games have been working on getting the fourth edition of this released. They're hopefully going to have the physical game out for Essen. But they're also saying that they're going to have the app which is like Seven Wonders and Dominion, the one that, you know, everyone just wants to get yes. out because they've been talking about for years and years and years, hopefully by the end of the year, along with an app version of Codenames, which Ooh. Is all the hotness at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, everyone's loving it. I mean, through the ages, another one I've been playing on BGA, and, you know, that for me brought that game back to life because it is such a long game and, you know, complicated to set out, all the tiny little wooden bits. BGA makes it great. On a tablet or something, it'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So that's coming out. That's all I've got. That's your sort of catch-up for Gen Con. Let's get to some music and bring in our special guest.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, guess what? That's better.
So be there.
And we'll be there with the Kings of Leon on call. You're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. With Mark and Garth, and our special guest, he is the King of Leon.
Oh, God.
His name is Leon. Leon, how are you?
Hello. Very good, gentleman. Yourself?
Oh, look, we are really well, apart from me pressing the wrong button.
I noticed.
But, hey, it was bound to happen.
Exactly. And it look, always does.
Leon, I must say, that is the quietest that I've ever seen you, ever. You sat there beautifully quiet for half an hour, listening to us jibber-jabber on. Must have been really difficult, actually.
Well, I've been up since about 5 in the morning, and I haven't really sat down at all, except for the drive here, so...
Yeah, and I did see that he was putting his time to good use, checking out Kickstarter. Yeah. So
I'm not here for a haircut, gentlemen. Well, look, I've already got that sorted.
Firstly, Leon, you are a real Oompa Loompa, aren't you? Because you work at the chocolate factory.
You could call it that. I'm a married man now, so I'm just a factory worker.
Oh.
In my single days, though, I was a chocolate chef.
Oh. There you go.
But now, lovely wife at home, I'm just a factory worker.
Oh, there you go. Now,
still living the dream.
Absolutely.
Free chocolate?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Actually, yeah. You don't get so much free chocolate these days, do you? Because they recycle everything.
Yeah, but they're not looking all the time.
Let's move on to something so we don't get him in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. We don't want to get you in trouble, Leon. Now, one of the reasons, among many, because you are a man of many talents, but one of the reasons we brought you in today is because you buy the odd game or two, don't you?
It has been said before.
Yeah, and then we often see you move on and you get rid of these games really quickly. So we're really curious about this whole process. So I want to know, firstly, how do you select the games that you're going to buy? Because it's not like me where I look and look and look and look and look and I find one that piques my interest. You're buying them by the container load almost, aren't you?
Well, give or take. The way it works is my wife and I have a system worked out where she saves money for a rainy day and I make sure that those rainy days are very entertaining. That's the way it works.
And so once you've invested in one umbrella to cover you for that rainy day, the rest of it just goes to board games.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome.
I mean, that's the whole point of rainy days. There's supposed to be shiny things on the inside of the house.
Yep.
To make everybody happy. So the reason I do it is because I can. Which is not the politest way to put it.
Unlike those of us with children
that
eat our money, literally.
Well, I've got 3 cats, so I'm pretty sure that's about 2.5 kids worth.
Yeah, but you only have to feed a cat every couple of days.
Do you?
Well, they go and find...
I don't have cats.
They find food at other people's houses, don't they? Isn't what you normally do?
Or Australian wildlife.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, anyway, I want to go back to the start. Right. How'd you get into this hobby?
Right. Well, you see, when you get to be my age.
Which is in negative 10 years' time. Yeah. Negative 20 for you, Mark.
Yes, well, basically, when you get to my age, myself and all my friends all have full-time jobs. We all have husbands and or wives. We all have children and or lots of cats.
Yep.
So spending time together with friends is a lot harder than what it used to be. So because of that, a few of us started playing Magic the Gathering together, just as basically an excuse to get together. And just so it happens that Magic the Gathering is sold at places that also sell very cool board games.
Yep.
And because of that, we then ended up with a copy of Last Night on Earth, so Zombies, right?
Yes.
And we also went up with a copy of Descent 2.0, so Dwarves, rare. Well. And with playing them, we really, really enjoyed them. And I found out that there was an expansion to Descent coming out. And one boring Saturday morning, I typed it into Google. And 2 things came up, 2 videos. One of them was a video from Dice Tower.
Yep.
And the other one was a video from Shut Up and Sit Down. And then I went down a YouTube rabbit hole, the likes of which I have never seen myself and will never see again. Mm. I lost a whole weekend.
Yep.
And it just so happened to coincide with the same time that I got to the point in my video game playing where I was just waiting for new things to come out. Back catalogue done. And the same with comic books as well. And as I said before, I'm the spender of the money. So I don't like to have money sitting there because that's just boring.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, board games, this could be a thing. So I saw many videos that I like the look of, went into the local gaming store. The main one I was after was King of Tokyo because it just looked awesome.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, it is.
Yeah.
And as I was there, I spoke to young Tony at the store and he said, have you heard of the Hobart Game Society? And I said, no, please tell me. He handed me a little card. He said, they meet every weekend. They're nice people. They play games. And I went, woo. Went along to one of their game days on the weekend. I met a young Hawaiian shirted
man. Oh, God.
It was my first introduction to Hogs as I walked in the door. And within a few seconds, he happened to mention that he did a podcast about several things very similar to board games.
Yep.
And I went, ooh, I like a podcast. And I think I like these board games now. And that was about 2 years ago, and now I'm here.
Well, it's good to see that Trent's useful for something.
You said the T word.
We're allowed to say it once. That's my quota.
Okay.
So it's good that he's done something good for the hobby.
Hey.
Now, yeah, I want to say thank you for buying so many games that we get to have a look at secondhand.
Yeah.
You've done a pretty good job of getting a wife into this as well, because I have no luck with my other half getting anything more than maybe Sushi Go or Kids Monopoly or something that might be, you know, done and dusted in 5 minutes. How often do you guys play these games together?
Not as much as what we used to, because we're both shift workers, so we don't get a lot of time to do it, but hence why we like to have them there for the rainy day.
Yep.
So we don't get them out as much as what we'd like to. But yeah, it just comes down to that thing of, luckily, not having any children yet, only having the cats to take care of, but we can get those games involved. And I do it for that reason sometimes, that I think that if I don't like it, I can just sell it on at a cheaper price, basically brand spanking new to somebody else that's interested. Because we see all these games online all the time. And as you said, there's a lot of people that think, I'd like to play that, but, you know, I've got this coming up. I'm very fortunate in a position where I can go, I'll get it.
Yep.
And if I like it, it's staying there. And if anybody wants to play it, they know where I am. And if not, I will happily, like I said, sell it on as cheap as I possibly can.
Yeah, that's cool.
And a lot of, Leon, I think it's great how you've got involved with the local game group,
yes.
But you're also, you primarily use the Facebook page of that games group to sell your games on, don't you?
I do use it to sell my games on, as well as any time we play nearly anything, I put photos and stuff up there, because it's the sense of community, I think, around games is very, very important.
Yeah.
The sense
yeah.
of family or whatever else. And, yeah, so I figure if people are out there having fun, it's best to show others that you can have fun too. It's right here in front of you.
And in terms of selling your games on, you don't seem to have any trouble at all selling them, do you?
Well, most of them is because they are newer games.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be a charlatan and try and sell it for like full price. I'll sell it for what I think is reasonable. And all the games I do get in are games that I think I'm interested in, that I think it should be all right. And half the time they are. I've sold some games in the past that are really, really good. It's just either I won't get them to the table because maybe they're a bit longer.
Yes.
Or more likely, there are other games that just fit the bill better. Like, I sold a version of Spartacus recently. That's an awesome game.
Yes.
But to get a good game of that going, you need 2.5-3 hours. If I'm going to play a game for 2.5-3 hours, I have other things. I have my Fury of Draculas, my Eldritch Horrors, and things like that.
Yes.
So it's just not going to get out. And I figured, well, why have it sitting there when somebody else can enjoy, you know, enjoy as well? If I want it years down the track, I know somebody that has it. Or I could just get it again if I wanted to.
I was going to say, that's one of the great things of selling them on locally is you know who buys them.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to move them on as quickly as you do, because let's face it, you move them on pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But exactly, you then know someone to contact if you feel like playing it again anyway.
Yeah, it comes from the video game world as well. I collected video games for years and years and years, and then I realized, hang on, because I'm luckily enough to get to buy the new stuff as it comes out, I never play the old stuff. I mean, from time to time, I'll play one that I really, really like again.
Yes.
But I just don't get the chance. So why am I having them just sit around doing nothing?
Yep.
And it's the same thing with board games.
Definitely. Now, I'm a tight ass. Right? You know, if you've listened to the podcast, you probably know.
Pick that up. Yes.
I always try and find the best deal.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Do you just go everywhere?
I try to shop locally as much as I can, but that's not in the cards. Mainly to do with being a shift worker and being lazy.
Ah, yes.
I'd like things delivered to my door. So there's many different websites, your Oz Game Shop and your even Amazon and stuff like that, even though the exchange rate's a killer now and postage is getting worse by the day. But pretty much if anything you want to find on the internet, it's very, very easy.
Yeah, look, I have just recently started using the Board Game Search sort of portal, which basically is an Australian website that just links into, you know, your Milsims and your Oz Game Shops and the Advent Games and all of those other ones and just lists the prices there in one little sort of screenshot. It's fantastic.
It's absolutely perfect. And I think the best thing you could probably do on that is as soon as you get it, is just type in, say, Ticket to Riot, something you know that everywhere is going to get. But then you just look and go, hang on, here's 20 websites that sell board games.
Yeah.
And then you could go them and browse them as much as you please. And there you go. You've got your list for whenever you need it.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Now, Leon, I want to grill you about some of your favourite games.
Mm.
We're going to come back after a track. Can I do that? Will you stay for another 10 minutes?
I suppose.
We'll let you talk. I promise.
Not a trouble.
We'll be back in a minute.
That was Karaoke for My Shadow with Fire Engine, another Tassie act. Good
to hear him. Awesome. Anyway, you're with the Iceman Cometh Edge Radio on 99.3 FM. We are here in the studio with Leon.
Hello.
Leon.
Yes.
You go through a lot of games,
yes.
So you know about a lot of games.
Oh, I'd like to think so.
And I know you don't sell all of them.
No.
Now, you talked to us about a couple of the early games you started with.
Yes.
What is your... If I can put you on the spot.
Yes.
What's your favourite game of all your games your own? Is there one?
I'd say the one I would never, ever get rid of is Marvel Legendary.
God damn you, that's the one I wanted you to get rid of.
I know that's the one you want me to get rid of, the one I taught you several months ago.
You did. And you even loaned it to me that my son and I could take it on holidays and test it out.
I did, and I barely knew you at the time. That's the kind
you
of person.
You are a kind, kind man, Leon.
That's a pretty good choice, I reckon. What else? What have you got, you know, if you've got 4 hours to kill, you know, what are you going to play? What is your, you know, your epic Sunday game?
I think the longest game I've got is probably, Eldritch Horror. My friends that I play a game with, we're all very similar in that we're all horror movie guys. We're all heavy metal type guys. So Eldritch Horror is us in a nutshell. Fury of Dracula, as I mentioned before, that game cost me quite a bit.
You must be excited about the new edition coming out then. You ordered it yet?
No, I have not.
I'll buy it off you for $20.
No, I think I'll keep. I like the nostalgia of the one that I've got, but how much it cost me, and finally finding a copy that was worth importing.
Wow. Yeah, and I sold mine about probably 12 months earlier, my copy. We painted miniatures even, and it was quite hard to get rid of because it's funny how that game went out of flavour. Let's talk about that game for a second.
Yep.
What do you love about it?
Well, the theme alone, I mean, Dracula
is
an awesome theme. And the idea that one against four is a really cool idea, and that it's all hidden and that they're all working, you know, co-op together while you've got your own little pile of evil behind you. So, which, like I said, it's my group of friends in a nutshell, that one of us gets to sit back and be evil while the other ones gets the nod. But just the fact that I think... The fact that it was so expensive and hard to find puts it at a special place in my heart. Because I saw it on a lot of top tens of stuff, but then I just couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought, why is a game this good from Fantasy Flight just disappeared into the ether?
And I guess you can see exactly why it's coming back into print.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do another good job of it.
Mm.
They've been doing a really good job
kind of stuff.
Yeah, doing a lot of a good job lately with all their reprints.
It looks rather similar from what I've seen. Yeah, they said they're going to simplify a few things. The card combat in it is a bit. That's the one thing you're a bit.
That's clunky, isn't
it? When you're playing it, but apart from that, everything else is pretty good.
Excellent. Now, the big question: how do you decide what to get rid of?
Ooh, that is a good question. It's just do I really realistically think I'm going to play that over something else that I have in my collection? When I have my mates around and we go in the back room and decide, right, what are we going to play? If we look at all that shelf and there's certain things that I've looked past four or five times and gone, no, I'm not going to play that because I've got such and such else.
Yep.
I don't need that game.
That's fair enough.
I think it's the simplest way.
Yeah, because I look at my collection, I go, oh, there's stuff there that I haven't played for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
I could quite easily put it on eBay or a MathTrade or do something and exchange it for something else. I don't know, am I just too lazy to take the photos? I don't know.
Well, the sad thing, the sad thing I think is I have games on my shelf that have been there for 5 or 6 years and never got out. But at the same time, they're great games, and they're also games that I know other people don't have.
Yep.
For me, I think that's the one thing, and I have traded away quite a few recently.
Yep.
We were talking in the car on the way over here. I'd recently traded. During the Bordercon math trade, I traded Nothing Personal. Mm. It's a fantastic game. I love it. But, Garth, also, you also have a copy of that game. And what's the point of having two copies? Yeah. Do you find that? Do your friends have similar gaming tastes?
I've had that with a few. Like, I had a copy of Descent myself.
Yes.
Because I bought it because of how excited was how much I liked it.
Mm.
But then I remembered, hang on, the guy I'm going to play this with has his own copy. He has every expansion. He paints them all himself. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So like I said, we just look at those shelves and just, if I'm really in the mood to play a game and then just have somebody say, well, how about that one? And I say no, then I just think to myself, oh, why did I say no?
Yeah.
That's an issue.
And do you operate a, like a Tom Vassell system where he's said he's only going to have, well, in his case, it's like 500, but you know, if he wants to put a new one in, he has to take an old one out and get rid of it. Do you have a limited amount of space?
I haven't got a limited amount of space as of yet, but it has definitely got to that point now where, yes, I have got some new things and as other things have gone to the wayside because of those new things.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no specific system set up of it. It's just on my whim half the time.
What about, so tell us about a couple other of your favourites. You obviously mentioned Descent, Fury of Dracula,
yep.
Eldritch Horror. Now, did you ever play Arkham Horror?
We played one game of Arkham Horror, but I think we'd already played Eldritch Horror already.
Okay.
So we played it and went, this is really good, and I can see where the seeds came for Eldritch, but Eldritch is just, if it's a choice between the two, it's not even a choice.
Yeah, look, I think they've made it so much better, haven't they?
Yeah.
And condensed it down to 2, 3, or maybe 4 hours, but no longer is it a 6 or 7 hour game.
Yeah, but that's one of those games where I've only got that to the table a handful of times myself, and it's been a few months now, but I'm never getting rid of it because of that. It feels something that nothing else I've got feels.
It's a fantastic experience.
Mm.
Now, have you still got King of Tokyo?
I have got King of Tokyo. Yeah. I sold King of New York. I got that thinking, a lot of people said, it's a bit more complicated, so therefore it's a more interesting game, which I guess is true, but King of Tokyo for me, I think, if I was an actual reviewer, I think is a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
For what it needs to be, it's perfect.
Yes.
It does not need to be more complicated. Some people like New York because of the different things, the complexities, that's fine. I love King of Tokyo for what it is.
And isn't that so typical of us gamers of, oh, we've got this really good, we could make it better by making it more complicated, and sometimes, you know, that the beauty is in the simplicity.
Exactly. A game's got to be what it wants to be, you know, and the great thing about a King of Tokyo is you know what you're going to get when you're going into it. You have your fun for a relatively short amount of time. You have a laugh. It's enjoyable and you move on. It doesn't need to go for another half an hour.
Now, Leon, what is on your radar of, because you're the king of new hotness as well as the king of Leon.
Yes.
What's on your radar coming up shortly?
Coming up shortly, most of the stuff I've backed on Kickstarter will hopefully start arriving soon.
Mm-hmm.
Any day now, I expect Blood Rage to land on my door.
Yep.
Oh, that's the Viking. Yes, I think I talked about that in a Kickstarter update. Which, it looks great.
Yeah, the Dice Tower Boys did a review of that recently, and Vassal himself said it'll probably be in his top 20 of all time.
Wow.
And he's paid, and you know, how many thousands of games that man played. I also backed one the other day, which just finished, called Lobotomy.
Descent out of a mental asylum.
It's Descent, in a mental asylum.
It's actually right up your alley, isn't it?
It's the shipping, oh my God, the shipping to Australia on that one was, the whole thing was not cheap, but the amount of how many cool exclusives there were, I thought.
Yes.
And for what it is, it's literally if someone said, right, let's design a game for Leon. Is it this? Oh, it is, isn't it? So I had no choice.
Absolutely. And anything else?
At the moment, I think that's about it. Most of the other Kickstarter stuff. Monstrous, which you boys talked about.
Yeah, I played that the other day.
Yes.
My kids love that. My 4-year-old, she will play that game every single day, I reckon.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so, you know, Kim and the guys at Secret Base have done a really, really cool job on that, and it must be coming soon.
Yeah, and I believe they may even have signed a big distribution deal in the States or something.
Good on them. I think it's a really decent game.
They definitely should have it. And one other one called Besieged, which is hopefully coming soon. That's the same guys that do Zombicide.
Oh.
So I haven't actually played Zombicide myself, which is weird considering I play everything else.
Because that's like Descent with zombies, isn't it?
Well, zombie side is, yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, Besieged is a little bit different. And just the one more thing is Spyfall, which I've already got and have had for a month, but I want to play a lot more of, because the idea of it, I think, is spectacular.
Yeah, we played it at the Winter Games Fest.
I played it for pretty much the whole day, which was really good.
Look, it's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Leon. It's been really great to have you on board. Keep selling those games, and we'll keep buying them.
Exactly.
But we'll be back next week.
We will.
Loads more stuff.
Definitely.
Maybe even a new special guest.
Well, we'll try.
We'll see what we can do.
Talk to someone, talk about something, fill in an hour.
Absolutely. But until then, play lots of games. I'm not going to say play more games. Play lots of games, and we'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.